can I tell that Mark Zuckerberg is a Jew? That's the question I'm getting now, and I believe I have the answer. Zuckerberg. I think that itself may be the answer. However, I am going to take you to Wikipedia again, and we're going to look into the phenomenon that is Zuckerberg, the phenomenon that is Facebook. Because you see, hi everyone, Martin Zender here, the Revelation series underway once again, another edition. People are looking for evil groups of people and small conclaves taking over the world, and they're looking for the overt evil thing. And I think by doing that, we will tend to miss where the evil is happening. And so I'm looking at something as innocuous, as innocent looking and good, and there are some good things about it. That makes it even more dangerous, of things like, say, Facebook. This mega communication that we have with each other around the globe, what that might be doing to the mind, to the psyche, and how it might be preparing in subtle ways, but when added to other ways, it's the complete package, what that might be doing to preparing this final generation to accept the Antichrist, to accept the man of lawlessness, and to reject spiritual truth, to reject spiritual facts. We are creating a generation discontent. And the reason they're discontent is because they're comparing their lives to everyone else. The Apostle Paul says this is important in 1 Timothy chapter 6, with food and shelter, with these we shall be sufficed. Well, not so fast, Paul, because we're not sufficed with these things, because we're on Facebook and we're looking at everyone else out there and seeing how good everyone else has it. Look how beautiful their kids are. They just got a new job, a new house, and a new car. And Facebook, a keyword there is face. People put their best face out there. And so why is it that we go out of our way to find out what's happening with other people, secretly hoping that some people are having a crappy time? It makes us feel better. Let's face it. It makes you feel better a little bit when everybody else is miserable. What's misery loves company. But on the other hand, Facebook is also latched upon, searched on to find how happy everybody else is, because there's some perverted self-berating thing goes on in people that just wants to make them feel angry at other people for their success. Let me go to, well, first of all, I want to go back to Wikipedia quickly here on Mr. Zuckerberg. Zuckerberg was born in 1984 in White Plains, New York. He is the son of dentist Edward Zuckerberg and psychiatrist Karen Kempner. He and his three sisters, Randy, Donna, and Ariel, were brought up in Dobbs Ferry, New York, a small Westchester County village about 21 miles north of Midtown Manhattan. Zuckerberg, here it is, ladies and gentlemen, was raised Jewish and had his bar mitzvah when he turned 13. It's common for a Jew. Afterward, he became an atheist. Although a sworn atheist, he has a firm belief in karma. Karma. Atheist karma. I wonder where the karma comes from. I can't figure that one out. And has previously stated that Buddhism as a religion is amazing. I'm surprised he said amazing, because a Facebook guy would tend to say awesome, wouldn't he? Awesome. Isn't everything awesome on Facebook? I just had cornflakes for breakfast. That's awesome. Just got a new car. That's awesome. Well, apparently, Buddhism is amazing, according to the creator of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg. To improve himself, what is Buddhism all about? It's improving yourself, human being. The human is the ultimate creation. And so we stroke our egos and we stroke our, try to anyway, self-opinions on Facebook. But many times that gets sabotaged because, don't you know, everybody has it better than you do, which is false. But it's the prevailing thinking. I'm now at psychologytoday.com, an article by Douglas Kenrick, PhD. This article is titled, 7 Ways Facebook is Bad for Your Mental Health. The subtitle is, How Staying in Touch May Be Driving You Nuts. I love that subtitle. Staying in touch can drive you nuts. It has tended to drive me nuts. That's why I'm not on Facebook, because I don't like to stay in touch. I do. Now listen, don't get me wrong. Big picture. Please stay in touch with me. Just not multiple times a day. That's why I cannot handle Facebook. When I was forced to be on Facebook by certain entities, said you need to be on social media, Martin, to get your message out there. Oh, God, I do. All right. And literally, beads of sweat would form on my forehead when I thought that I had to be on Facebook, because I did not want hyper connectivity. I did not want hyper staying in touch. There's a difference between staying in touch, keeping friends, and hyper connectivity. You know this, that your good friends, the friends that are true for life, these friends, you can go without talking to them. Say they live in a far corner of the world or another part of the country. You go without talking to them for days, weeks, maybe months. And then when you reconnect, it's like you never left. That's a true friend. Members of the body of Christ, same way. Some people I have not seen for years or even talked to. They come into my mind, I call them up. Oh, I was just thinking about you two. Have a nice conversation. Friendship confirmed. Goodbye. And so this daily finding out what people are doing, how they're living, what they're buying, it will drive you crazy, because we're not meant to be hyper connected. It's a stress that is contributing to the whole picture of this end time that is preparing people for the Antichrist. This is my overriding point. I'm tying this in with the book of Revelation, which seems incongruous. Martin Zender, how can you compare something so wonderful as Facebook, so wonderful as television, to the book of Revelation? This is the whole thing. It's the secret of lawlessness. Remember this. I've told you this. The secret of lawlessness is that evil is packaged in white, glowing images. It is packaged in what looks like righteousness. It is disguised as righteousness. 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 11 or 12, something like that. Read all of 2 Corinthians. You'll find it. And so this is the evil that I seem to be an expert, excuse me for stating that, but if it's true, it's not bragging, at discerning. And I'm criticized for it. Does so much good, Martin. I remember when I took my kids, took television away from my family for 10 years. We had no television. And I was criticized for that. Martin, you're just going to turn them into freaks. Television's good. It brings the world into your living room. And yeah, that's the problem. And people used to ask me, Martin, why don't you get a newspaper? Why don't you subscribe to a paper? Everybody gets the paper. My standard answer was, because I might find out what's going on in the world. I hate newspaper, and I hate news, and I never read the newspaper, and I never watch the news. Because I hate the glib way that people tell you all the bad things that happen. And they keep that news face, and they have that news voice. Today, in Afghanistan, it just irritates me, so I don't watch it. Do you remember Hee Haw? That old show, Hee Haw? There was a skit they always did where this guy came into the doctor and he said, Doctor, it hurts when I do this. And he does some crazy thing with his arm. And the doctor hits him on the head and says, well, then don't do that. I get crazy when I watch the news. Do you? I have a suggestion. What is it? What? Well, how can I cure this problem? Don't watch the news. I know it's radical, but I'm a radical guy. And so I say, if social media is making you crazy, making you anxious, if you're addicted to it, then get off of it. And we're afraid to, because we're going to lose our friends. That's what we think. We think that if we don't connect with our friends, we're going to lose our friends. They're going to think we're mean. They're going to think we're bad. So our lives end up being run by what other people think of us. And that is a global epidemic. That's what political correctness is all about. And that's what this has come to. And it's paving the way for an acceptance of Antichrist. There's two things working here. And I'll explain it to you. But the acceptance thing. Everybody cares about what everybody else thinks. We don't want to criticize the president because we'll come across as racist. You see, I am fearlessly here criticizing, not even criticizing, but explaining to you how the Jews own the media. And I'm doing that at the risk of being called an anti-Semite. I don't care what you think about me. I just put the truth out. And if people think that, I can say as many times as possible, it's not true. I'm not that way. But people are going to think what they're going to think. And it amazes me always how many people don't want to publicly say what they feel because they don't want to be criticized. And so they go with the flow. Go with the flow. Like never before. And like never before, the flow has become global. It's a global flow now because of this interconnectivity. I can find out what's happening in China because I have 70 Facebook friends in China. And so this global thing has never been possible before this generation. And it ties in with the one world government. But don't look for the evil men with handlebar mustaches dressed in black in the warehouse plotting the overtake of the world. They're doing it now. Didn't Khrushchev say back during the Cold War, he said, we'll take over your country through your youth. We'll do it through your youth. In other words, we'll educate. We'll do it through education. Communism doesn't have to be passed along by a war anymore. That's the thing. You don't need war. You don't need big, ugly tanks coming into a country. You just need to infect the culture with a message that comes through social media. And it's not just the conversations that are happening on Facebook or any other social media format, platform. It is the advertisement that goes along with it. That's why Zucknuts makes all that money, because of advertising. People advertise it because there's millions, billions of people on the stupid thing every day. And if those who put forward the platform, the creators of it, if they have themselves have an ideology, say they have a global ideology, let's say they have a certain political ideology, then that will come through and it will infect, it will slowly seep into the consciousness of those using the media. And it's so true with eternal torment, isn't it? The church has not taken over the world with tanks, with guns, with atomic bombs. They haven't had to. They've done it through education. They've done it through schools with their stupid, eternal, horrible, evil, demonic, eternal torment teaching. It's come through books. It's come through happy books, happy little books with colorful covers about someone who spent 5 minutes in hell or some other such inane stupidity. Did I contradict myself? I don't care. So all this stuff makes me nervous because I think I sense the greater evil underneath it. Again, I have a talent for that, unfortunately. I sense the greater evil beneath these things, and so I want to get as far away from them as possible. I do it at the risk of alienating people, and I don't want to do that because I truly love people. I just don't love them to death, and I don't want them to love me to death. In other words, I don't want that stranglehold of what I can only call hyper-connectivity. So I haven't even started this article yet in Psychology Today. I'm going to do that tomorrow. 7 Ways Facebook is Bad for Your Mental Health, How Staying in Touch May Be Driving You Nuts, from Psychology Today, April 11th, 2014. I'm going to get into that tomorrow. And again, I'm going to remind you the reason for this side trail. It's not really a side trail at all, because I think I'm putting my finger on chief characteristic of this eon, staying connected. And I'm seeing an evil face behind it, even though the players might not even realize it. I'm not saying Mark Zuckerberg is an evil person. He seems like a very nice man. And I don't think he realizes he's doing this. Just like Glenn Beck doesn't realize that by calling for togetherness of religions, that the priests and the rabbis and the imams must all come together. He doesn't realize he's forwarding the one world government, the one world religion, the beast. He's helping form the beast. Has no idea he's doing that. And so I'll give the Jews the benefit of the doubt. They have no idea that by their controlling the media, that they're controlling the minds of people, especially the youth, and the youth is going to be brainwashed, and the youth is going to accept the Antichrist, because the Antichrist will be presented by social media, by every media outlet, whether it's news or movies or television, as the answer to all your problems. And by the way, you're going to realize you have problems because social networking makes you jealous and envious because you see how the other half lives, and you become discontent with your own life. Constantly, people become discontent. In politics, this is called class envy. They make you angry at the rich. How dare those rich people have all that money? I should be getting money. They're evil because they have money. and I don't. And so an entity then can come in, a political movement, namely called liberalism. They can say, well, of course, you deserve to have something. So we're going to punish the rich in order to give to the poor. And that's class envy. And it's fanned. It doesn't exist if you're on your own and you're content with your life. Man, well, what do I have to worry about? I have a nice family. I have a house. I'm fine. Then somebody tells you, you're fine. No, look at that person. He's rich. He's wealthy. Why does that person have a lot and you have a little? Have you ever thought of that? And you go, no, I really haven't. And so class envy, that's what it is. It's stirred up in you. And then you have thoughts that you never had before. And you have your discontent like you never were before. Oh, I need to tell you about the guy who filled in for the Beatles back in the 64 when Ringo had tonsillitis. That has to do with the... It really has to do with everything here. Not a rabbit trail at all. I just can't think. I can't think of the guy's name right now, but I will as soon as I turn off the microphone, and I will tell you about that tomorrow. So all these things, again, you're never going to hear this stuff anywhere else. It's all connected, and it all has to do with the cup of Babylon that's making the world drunk, and the world is becoming drunk. And again, it's preparing everyone to receive the unreceivable, that is the man of lawlessness.